The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This summer, we're going to make our way through this list of these various expressions of the fruit of the Spirit, and today we begin with gentleness. I'm curious what kinds of images come to your mind when you think of gentleness. Do you think of things that are soft, sweet, maybe maternal? If you do an image search for the word gentle, interesting, a lot of products pop up, detergents and face soaps and the like, things that are gentle on the skin and gentle on clothes. Google also turned up images of butterflies, baby chicks, and baby's breath. But the Greek word for gentle that's used in the list of the fruit of the Spirit and elsewhere in the Bible, praus, or prautes for gentleness, it's a fairly specific word. It refers to a well-trained or obedient animal. Praus, a well-trained or obedient animal. So as you imagine gentleness, I invite you to imagine a gentle animal. That is an animal that is strong and powerful and capable of destruction and harm, but because it is well-behaved, well-trained, you could describe it as gentle. Imagine a horse, for instance. If you call a horse gentle, you're saying it's well-trained. It still has the power to hurt someone. It still is stronger than any person. But a person, especially the person who has trained the horse, might call the horse gentle. At the start of the service, I quoted Jesus, who said, "I am gentle and humble in heart." And notice the imagery he uses when he says, "My burden is easy and my yoke is light." He's using the imagery of an animal wearing a yoke to be paired with another to pull something. And the word for gentle that Jesus uses to describe himself is praus, the word that's used to describe an obedient animal. It's the same word that shows up in the list in Galatians of the fruit of the Spirit. You might notice, if you look at those verses in Galatians where the fruit of the Spirit are listed, it begins with, "by contrast." By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And in our first reading, we heard the attributes that are given in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. That list is sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. To help us think about gentleness today, I wanted to lift up an example of what's not gentle. So we heard the parable of the prodigal son who really checks off most of the things on that list. That list that is provided in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. Let's see. Sexual immorality and debauchery, check. He squandered his inheritance on dissolute living and prostitutes. Impurity, check. He winds up feeding and possibly eating with pigs. Enmities, strife, quarrels, dissensions, envy, check. He takes his inheritance early to go off on his own, cutting all ties with his family. And drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, check. See again the part about dissolute living. If praus is gentleness, like a well-trained, obedient animal, then the prodigal son is the picture of the opposite of that. He isn't well-trained, he's wild. He isn't obedient, he's selfish, reckless, and careless. He uses all of his power and resources for destruction and for harm. This might not be the contrast that we expect. We might expect the opposite of gentleness to be something like strength or power, but it isn't, because gentleness isn't weakness. So the opposite of gentleness isn't strength. It's the prodigal son who hurts himself and others because he is unrestrained in his use of his power and his resources. But the prodigal son isn't the only lesson in contrast that the parable offers us today. Let's take a look at everyone's favorite, the older son. Now, we might think he's more like the well-trained animal. He's certainly obedient, isn't he? He does what he's supposed to do. He works hard. He helps his father. But he's hardly a picture of gentleness because he's bitter and resentful. He's jealous. In fact, he also embodies some of those words on that list given for contrast in Galatians. He might not have been engaged in carousing or debauchery, but he checks off some of the other items on that list: enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions. He checks those off the list when he stands outside the celebration complaining. We see it especially when the father reminds him that he has access to all of the things that are being lavished on his younger brother. The older son shows us that simple obedience, following the rules, doing what we're told, that's not the whole picture. If we do those things in order to gain favor, if we are obedient as a way of proving ourselves or punishing ourselves, that's not the gentleness that Jesus is talking about, and that's not the gentleness that is the fruit of the Spirit. If the older son were gentle, like Jesus, his obedience wouldn't be a form of perfectionism that somehow proved his worth. It would be a form of trust. The image of the well-trained animal isn't meant to suggest that we should do what's right to earn favor or prove our worth, as if we are obedient to avoid punishment. Because Jesus tells us that he is gentle, and we are yoked to him, and he doesn't give us a burden to carry that he doesn't carry with us. We should think about the animal that is obedient not because it is afraid of punishment, but because it trusts its master, who is good. That's what the older son misses. His father is good and generous. He's been living as if he might be punished for any misstep, but why would he think that? When the father has never showed him or his brother anything but love and generosity. Even when the older son is throwing a grown-up temper tantrum, bitter and jealous, his father doesn't rebuke him harshly. He doesn't say, "What kind of person are you that you aren't even a little happy that your brother, who we thought was dead, has just turned up alive?" He doesn't say, "What's the matter with you that all you can think about is material things at a time like this?" He doesn't say, "You're just as bad as your brother, really, if all you care about is what belongs to you and what you're entitled to." No, he says, "All that I have is yours." But the older son misses it because he imagines himself living in an economy of punishment and reward. But his father is living in an economy of grace and generosity. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, like an animal that restrains its capacity for harm and destruction, not to avoid punishment and not to be rewarded with prizes, but because it feels safe in the hands of its master, who is trustworthy and good, it can offer safety and trust and goodness to others. That's gentleness. It's not self-restraint motivated by fear or performance or perfectionism. The gentleness of the Spirit is self-restraint motivated by trust and feeling safe. And it leads to more trust, making more people feel safe. If you have been like the prodigal, living unrestrained in a way that only hurts you and others, remember that God doesn't sit up waiting to punish you when you miss your curfew. God runs out to meet you and rejoices to have you back. Or more likely, I imagine, if you have been like the older son, working so hard to be perfect, following the rules, doing everything right, only to feel overlooked and unrewarded for all your effort. Perhaps you need to remember that God is good. And so you don't have to be perfect and obedient because God is mean and punishing. But you can be gentle because God is good. In a book of prayers that I love by Ted Loader, there's this prayer, "Gentle me, O Holy One, into an unclenched moment, a deep breath, a letting go of heavy expectancies, of shriveling anxieties, of dead certainties. That's softened by the silence, surrounded by the light, and open to the mystery, I may be found by wholeness, upheld by the unfathomable, entranced by the simple, and filled with the joy that is you." I think that gets at the spirit of gentleness. It is an unclenched moment, a deep breath. It is letting go of heavy expectations and shriveling anxieties. And spirit gentleness leads to wholeness, trust, contentment, and joy. We don't ever hear how the story ends. Does the older son stay outside feeling hurt and resentment? Does he run away himself and try his hand at dissolute living? Or does something in his heart open in gentleness? Does he find himself in an unclenched moment, letting go of heavy expectations and shriveling anxieties? Does he choose to join the celebration? Is he able to receive the love that the Father has for him as much as for his brother? Whatever burdens you are carrying today, whether the burden of regret over your own mistakes or the burden of resentment over the mistakes of others that have hurt you, or the burden of pain of any sort, I invite you today to remember the invitation from Christ our Lord, who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And if Christ is gentle, then we can set down our burdens and live in gentleness that is born from trust. Let us pray. Gentle God, free us from our sin and selfishness that compels us to live reckless and careless lives, and free us from our fear and insecurity and our narrow ways of seeing you in the world that sends us into exhaustion, trying to prove ourselves and live up to some standard of perfection that you never even set for us. Help us to see that we can trust in you and rest in you. Amen.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit, and let's all sing together our hymn of response, "Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling." It's hymn 418.